control, searching for the depth of my own soul. I breathe from far beneath, my cover keeps the red from the Alien Podcast, with your hosts Paul Mano and Matt McAfee. Episode 3, George Washington's Experience.
Welcome everybody to another episode of Alien Podcast. How are you tonight, Paul?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Not too bad. Did you guys have a good 4th of July?
Oh, it was too hot to enjoy. We had heat indexes up around 107, and you know, for this part of the world, when the 107's out, it's hot.
Oh, yeah, that's damn hot up there.
Yeah, plus real high humidity.
I can't say anything. On July 3rd, EJ and I went to the old Alton Bridge up in Denton, Texas, and we were hiking around for about an hour or so, and we decided we were going to sit out on the bench and we were going to talk about some of the different things that we could possibly go back and explore. And as we were sitting there on the bench, all of a sudden I got dizzy, and next thing I know, EJ is picking me up off the ground. A little bit of a heat stroke. It was not a pretty sight.
No, it's not. I've been there myself, and that's not fun to come out of.
And the worst thing is I broke my damn Oakley glasses. I had a new pair of glasses recently made, and sure shit, I happen to be wearing them.
Well, there you go. Now you have something to mark the occasion.
Yeah, another bill. All right, I guess we're going to jump into tonight's subject. You read much about this story, Paul?
Yeah, I just did today. I had heard of it before. I hadn't read much about it, or it had probably been years since I had heard it. Yeah, I read a bit about it today to see just exactly what it was. I'm not sure exactly what it was. It could be angels. It could be an alien presence of some kind. I'm just not sure as to what it was.
It's kind of confusing. It does, in my opinion anyway, it sounds very much like an extraterrestrial visitation. However, yeah, when you get into the part about the trumpet, then it goes back very much, I think, to being angelic. For those of you that don't really know the story, 1859 in the National Tribune, when it was first published, it was later reprinted in the Stars and Stripes, which of course was owned by the National Tribune in 1931 was when it was republished, and again in 1950. It was written by a gentleman by the name of Wesley Bradshaw. What this story goes into is George Washington would go what was called the thicket to pray. One day, apparently, he stayed inside of his tent and was having an exceptionally bad day with the cold weather. And while he was in there, he had a quote-unquote visitation of some sort. The story was later told to Mr. Bradshaw by a gentleman by the name of Anthony Sherman, who claimed to have been one of Washington's soldiers. We're going to play the story.
The last time I ever saw Anthony Sherman was on the 4th of July, 1859, in Independence Square. He was then 99 years old. His dimming eyes rekindled as he gazed upon Independence Hall, which he had come to visit once more. I want to tell you an incident of Washington's life, one which no one alive knows of except myself, and which, if you live, you will before long see verified. He said, "From the opening of the Revolution, we experienced all phases of fortune, good and ill. The darkest period we ever had, I think, was when Washington, after several reverses, retreated to Valley Forge, where he resolved to pass the winter of 1777. Ah! I often saw the tears coursing down our dear commander's careworn cheeks, as he conversed with a confidential officer about the condition of his soldiers. You have doubtless heard the story of Washington's going to the thicket to pray. Well, he also used to pray to God in secret for aid and comfort. One day, I remember well, the chilly winds whistled through the leafless trees. Though the sky was cloudless and the sun shone brightly, He remained alone in his quarters nearly all afternoon. When he came out, I noticed that his face was a shade paler than usual, and there seemed to be something on his mind of more than ordinary importance. Returning just after dusk, he dispatched an orderly to the quarters of the officer I mentioned who was in attendance at the time. After preliminary conversation of about half an hour, Washington, gazing upon his companion with that strange look of dignity that he alone could command, said to the latter,
"I do not know whether it is due to the anxiety of my mind, or what, but this afternoon, as I was preparing a dispatch, something seemed to disturb me. Looking up, I beheld, standing opposite me, a singularly beautiful being. So astonished was I, for I had given strict orders not to be disturbed, that it was some moments before I found language to inquire the cause of the visit. A second, a third, and even a fourth time did I repeat my question, but received no answer from my mysterious visitor, except a slight raising of the eyes. By this time I felt strange sensations spreading through me, and I would have risen, but the riveted gaze of the being before me rendered volition impossible. I essayed once more to speak, but my tongue had become useless, as though it had become paralyzed. A new influence, mysterious, potent, irresistible, took possession, to gaze steadily, vacantly at my unknown visitor. Gradually the surrounding atmosphere seemed to become filled with sensations, and grew luminous. Everything about me seemed to rarefy, including the mysterious visitor. I began to feel as one dying, or rather to experience the sensations which I have sometimes imagined accompany dissolution. I did not think, I did not reason, I did not move, all were alike impossible. I was only conscious of gazing fixedly, vacantly at my companion. Presently I heard a voice saying, "Son of the Republic, look and learn," while at the same time my visitor extended an arm eastwardly. I now beheld a heavy vapor at some distance rising fold upon fold. This gradually dissipated, and I looked out upon a strange scene. Before me lay spread out in one vast plain all the countries of the world, Europe, Asia, Africa, and America. I saw rolling and tossing between Europe and America the billows of the Atlantic, and between Asia and America lay the Pacific. "Son of the Republic," said the same mysterious voice as before, "look and learn." At that moment I beheld a dark, shadowy being as an angel standing, or rather floating, in mid-air between Europe and America. Dipping water out of the ocean in the hollow of his hand, he cast some on Europe. Immediately a cloud raised from these countries, and joined in mid-ocean. For a while it remained stationary, and then moved slowly westward until it enveloped America in its murky folds. Sharp flashes of lightning gleamed through it at intervals, and I heard the smothered groans and cries of the American people. A second time the angel dipped water from the ocean and sprinkled it out as before. The dark cloud was then drawn back to the ocean, in whose billows it sank from view. A third time I heard the mysterious voice saying, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." I cast my eyes upon America and beheld villages and towns and cities string up one after another until the whole land from the Atlantic to the Pacific was dotted with them. Again I heard the mysterious voice say, "Son of the Republic, the end of the century cometh, look and learn." And this time the dark, shadowy angel turned his face southward, and from Africa I saw an ill-omened spectre approach our land. It flitted slowly over every town and city of the latter. The inhabitants presently set themselves in battle against each other. As I continued looking, I saw a bright angel, on whose brow rested a crown of light on which was traced the word Union, bearing the American flag, which he placed between the divided nation. He said, "Remember, yea, our brethren." Instantly the inhabitants, casting down their weapons, became friends once more, and united around the national standard. Again I heard the mysterious voice saying, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." At this the dark, shadowy angel placed a trumpet to his lips and blew three distinct blasts, and taking water from the ocean, he sprinkled it on Europe, Asia, and Africa. Then my eyes beheld a fearful scene. From each of these countries arose thick black clouds that were soon joined into one, and throughout this mass there gleamed a dark red light by which I saw hordes of armed men, who, moving with the cloud, marched by land and sailed by sea to America, which country was enveloped in the volume of cloud. And I dimly saw these vast armies devastate the whole country and burn the villages, towns, and cities that I had beheld springing up. As my ears listened to the thundering of the cannon, the slashing of swords, and the shouts and cries of millions in mortal combat, I again heard the mysterious voice saying, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." When the voice had ceased, the dark angel placed his trumpet once more to his mouth and blew a long and fearful blast. Instantly a light as of a thousand suns shone down from above me, and pierced and broke into fragments the dark cloud which enveloped America. At the same moment the angel upon whose head still shone the word Union and who bore a national flag in one hand and a sword in the other descended from the heavens attended by legions of white spirits. These immediately joined the inhabitants of America, who I perceived were well nigh overcome, but who, immediately taking courage again, closed up their broken ranks and renewed the battle. Again, amid the fearful noise of the conflict I heard the mysterious voice saying, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." As the voice ceased, the shadowy angel for the last time dipped water from the ocean and sprinkled it upon America. Instantly the dark cloud rolled back, together with the armies it had brought, leaving the inhabitants of the land victorious. Then once more, I beheld the villages, towns, and cities springing up where I'd seen them before, while the bright angel, planting the azure standard he had brought in the midst of them, cried with a loud voice, "While the stars remain, and the heavens send down dew upon the earth, so long shall the Union last." And taking from his brow the crown on which blazoned the word Union, he placed it upon the standard while the people, kneeling down, said Amen. The scene instantly began to fade and dissolve, and I, at last, saw nothing but the rising, curling vapor I had at first beheld. This also disappeared, and I found myself once more gazing upon the mysterious visitor, who in the same voice I had heard before said, "Son of the Republic, what you have seen is thus interpreted. Three great perils will come upon the Republic. The most fearful is the third. But in this greatest conflict the whole world united shall not prevail against her. Let every child of the Republic learn to live for his God, his land, and the Union." With these words the vision vanished, and I started from my seat and felt that I had seen a vision wherein had been shown me the birth, progress, and destiny of the United States.
Such, my friends, were the words I heard from Washington's own lips, and America will do well to profit by them.
That's interesting story. Interesting. Yeah, definitely interesting.
The three perils, similar to the three secrets of Fatima.
Right.
If you're familiar with that, yeah. With the third one being the worst.
Of course.
Right. The third one's always kind of the worst.
In doing a little bit of research into the article, one of the things that I found out, looking at it from a skeptical point of view, was they said that there was an officer by the name of Sherman, who definitely was in the Revolutionary War at the time. However, they said he was under the direct command of Benedict Arnold at the time, would not have been anywhere near Valley Forge. I have to kind of wonder how well the records were kept back then.
Yeah, I don't know whether there's any truth to the story or there isn't. It makes for a good telling. It's an interesting story, and most people in the country don't even know about it.
And the story has been retold multiple times. It seems that with every major conflict of the last century, that there was some sort of retelling of it. Even into the Civil War, it was being retold.
Yeah, it's probably been retold many times, and only now is it kind of just fallen out of the publishing world or whatever, but it's a difficult story to either believe or to not believe.
Right. It's one of those stories, I think, that you could go one way or the other. You really can't hit both on it. You sort of have to pick a side on there because of the way everything happened back then. It wouldn't be the first time in history that a troop commander had either a vision or some type of extraterrestrial inclusion. It goes back to at least Alexander the Great, where he claimed that the flying shields came down to make way for his troops. To me, it's not that far-fetched because when you take a look at things like that all the way throughout history, it has happened very, very often within different conflicts. Another thing that to me lends credibility to it is anytime there is a major war, whether it's this country or any other that's involved, it seems like there really has a lot of UFO activity over battlefields. It seems like the number of sightings go up during that time.
Yeah, I think they do. I think, but you know, that's, is there somebody else that has that much of an interest in what we're doing, and or are they showing up to make sure we don't do something that we really shouldn't do?
Right. I think that your latter part of that comment actually has more to do with it than anything else. I think that they come here and make sure that the kids are getting along at least somewhat, and we're not dropping any more nukes on each other.
Right. And with seeing things like that during the war, they also want to make sure that the correct side does win because if the wrong side should happen to win, it could be bad for the entire planet. So,
but eventually it's going to happen that it would be bad for the entire galaxy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's coming too. So not in our lifetime, but it's coming.
Obviously, it's going to be coming. It's going to happen because of
the Space Force.
So
there you go again. Yeah. Yeah. That'll be the main reason right there.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I think it's a rather interesting story, though, about Washington. It's one of those things.
Oh, yeah.
From certainly Washington's lifetime that has never really been that publicized. Which also lends credibility to it may not be true because his life has pretty much been an open book. But at the same time, how much do we really know about George Washington?
Right.
Do we know much at all about his relationship with Martha? Like we were talking about last episode, think about when we were kids and we were taught about Washington and the cherry tree.
Yeah. And who knows if that was even real. So,
right.
So how much stuff is actually told to people that isn't real? As far as this story goes, I think it's up to the person listening to it to believe what they want to and interpret it how they want to. And
right.
Who am I to come on and say that our first president to be a liar?
Well, you know,
say that about our current president, but otherwise, the first one, I got to give him, you know, everybody can find a way to.
There's always a
change
loophole.
This and change that. Yeah, always. And sometimes you just don't, you know, you just want to tell people, just shut up. I mean, come on, have some fun with some of this stuff now and then, you know, instead of,
right.
You know, just poo-pooing every idea that there is, you know. I don't get it. But no, it's a fascinating story. And it's one that needs to be brought up every once in a while just so people do know about it.
Well, once again, I would like to thank everybody for tuning in this week. Hope you enjoyed the show. I know we certainly did.
Be back next week.
Everybody, please try to have a good rest of your weekend and a good week ahead.
And we will be back next week to once again attack culture.
To find out more about the show, or promptly send your death threats, or for your free, no obligation anal probe, please visit alienpodcast.net.